Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the program on Blog Talk Radio. Wait, those are words that I haven't said in at least 3 years. But hey, yeah. It really is true. We are indeed back on Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen, for the foreseeable future and probably then some. I'm your host, Chris Wassel. As always, with me is Senior Timothy Rosenthal. Good evening, Timmy.
Oh, well, so New Jersey might not be getting help, but Boston actually is. And out of all teams, it's the team beneath them in the Atlantic Division standings that's helping them.
Oh, you mean the team that should have been helping my team, but that stupid expletive Finnish death metal goalie couldn't stop a stinking puck to save his life. Oh, wait. That was a rant best saved on WEEI this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I was kidding. But no, the Devils aren't going to get any help, and we're probably going to get into the time of the year where we get another binge of disallowed goals that just finally finishes off. People think I'm kidding. No, we've already lost about 5 or 6 points, and there go the Rangers. They're done.
There's always that.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like, can you score a damn goal? Can you beat a team that, you know, I mean, and the sad part is the Rangers are the type of team that can beat Columbus.
Maybe if Rick Nash was still with the Blue Jackets, or I should say Rangers, that they could be him, but
I doubt it. It's one of those. It's like,
yeah.
All right. At this point, I've had enough. I get it. Okay.
I'm surprised that wasn't a hot take on sports radio today here in Boston. Rick Nash not wanting to play against his former team for like the upteenth million time.
Well, what are you gonna do? I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, really. But no, you're right. You're right. And it's weird because it's like bizarro world when you look at this.
Just a bit.
So the Rangers and Blackhawks are done. They're not officially eliminated, but they're functionally done. Montreal was eliminated last night, which I completely spaced out on this morning. I was just like, wait, better start editing things and going through stuff to make sure that I get these other teams right. But
yeah, I'm editing stuff like, I think we got a Montreal caller who might need to make his way back into the system.
I miss this guy. I really did, Timmy. I'm not going to lie. My only regret is that we did not find this sooner, but the fact that I had to literally convert this from what was god awful. I don't even know how it'll turn out. Let's see what happens.
Tony, listen, I feel sorry for the guys, the Canadian players. You know why we're going to lose this series? Because of coaching. I want to know whoever's responsible for having Hamelick on at the end of the second period. I want them fired. By the end of the season, I want them fired. If it's Jacques Martin who had something to do with this, I want him fired. I don't want to see Hamelick in a Canadian uniform no more. It's enough. You know what's ironic? They haven't scored one power play goal, yet they scored 2 shorthanded goals when Hamelick's been on. It's enough. It's enough. Fire the coaching staff. I've had it. The players are getting their heart, but it's kind of stupid coaching decisions that we're losing this series. And can someone please tell Belichick to open open his eyes when he passes the puck in his zone. Please. Enough is enough. I'm a frustrated and proud Canadian fan, and if upper management can't understand that they've got incompetent people coaching, then they're going to lose a lot of fans. Pierre Gauthier, I've got a message for you. I don't care if you're friends with Jean Martin, you fire him. And if he doesn't fire him, then you get upper management, ownership, you fire Pierre Gauthier and start getting some competent people behind the bench. I've had it with this.
And this is about a decade later, but if you just replace Jacques Martin with Claude Julien and Roman Hamrick with a couple other defensemen there, then maybe it's certainly accurate for the state of the Montreal Canadiens. Nothing's changed.
The more things change in Montreal, the more they remain the same. It's scary. Something interesting that I did want to weirdly note, and this is usually a sign of sometimes a player will be activated sooner rather than later. Patrice Bergeron magically retroactively is on the IR now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. So he must be getting closer to returning. If that's the case.
Yes, he was skating with the team on Monday. I think he is on the road trip. I don't know if he was practicing today or not, but
yeah, he was not. He was. I guess you can't call it non-contact, and you can't call it full contact to me. You call it semi-contact. I mean,
it's the red no con. Yeah, somewhat like that.
Yeah, yeah. He basically was in mostly no contact drills, but he did. He at least was doing some, it's weird. He was doing a couple contact drills and he was doing mostly non-contact. So we'll call it a semi and be done with it. All right.
And we got a breaking injury.
Damn it. You know, this never fails, does it? Damn it. I think I really did it this time, Timmy.
Yes, you did. And that sound you hear is Winnipeg's chances taking a bit of a hit right now.
Now for those that don't know, we did this just to have fun, but I brought back a dear old friend of ours from the days gone by, and let's see what he has to say.
Good evening and welcome to the Injury Ninja segment, only on the program here on Blog Talk Radio.
A new sounding robot for
upgrade. Upgrade.
An upgraded robot, shall we say.
Yeah, we have, you know, we've got a little more sophisticated. But don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. You know, just when you think we got a little bit more sophisticated, we brought this guy along for the ride.
Come get some.
I know. But believe me, there's a few more. We're getting there, Timmy. Don't worry,
yep.
there'll be plenty more sound clips, ladies and gentlemen, for everybody. But yes, indeed, this segment is brought to you by that infernal injury ninja, injuring people since 2007, and in some cases, ruining your fantasy teams since 2000. All right, let's break this off away.
Who's next, hockey fans?
You know what? I think I have that one in there somewhere, just for fun, because we're doing this. The question is, which one did I use that on? Maybe it's this one.
Who is next on the Injury Ninjas list? Let's find out next only on the program.
Well, Dom, we've gotten straight up British here. Interesting. Yeah, you never. Yeah, I upgraded heavily, Timmy. I know. Bad me.
No, I think this is actually a good thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of voices that apparently I have yet to explore with this new robot thing. It's better. It may be almost as good as the demo one. I don't know yet. I do want to do a fun few ones in different languages. And then obviously after the Injury Ninja segment, we are going to touch on something that's a little bit more of a serious nature. So I do hope people understand that, you know, it's a little bit more of a somber show than it usually is, just because in the hockey world, well, we all got rocked today by something that just you never could see coming. So whether you're a Boston fan, New Jersey fan, Ottawa fan, et cetera, doesn't really matter. But all right, onto the bad news on the ice, at least. All right, Timmy, and this is always fun. All right, which Nash is actually on the injury list? Because, you know, when you see R. Nash, you kind of joke. It's like, It's like name your Nash on the list.
Your R. Nash.
Name your R. Nash. But, yeah, indeed. We'll get them over.
And this
obviously,
is a trade deadline acquisition. The trade deadline acquisition from the Bruins, so...
It was Rick Nash, at least. All right, so we'll get to Rick Nash's latest injury in a bit. Obviously tonight, the big injury, and no, it wasn't Ryan Callahan getting injured yet again. That's not anything new, really. So water is wet. Ryan Callahan's not healthy. He's been banged up all year, and what else is new? Now, he's day-to-day for now. Obviously, he'll be evaluated tomorrow, and we'll have to wait to see how long he's out for. We'll probably have a small little blurb on it on the Fantasy Doctors sometime during the day Wednesday when it stops snowing, whenever that may be. Again, I digress. The big injury is Patrick Laine, who just went out a few minutes ago. He had to be helped to the locker room. Didn't look good. Looked like he couldn't put much weight, which was a bit of a concern there. And hopefully in the next little bit, we will get some more information on the Patrick Laine injury, which, let's face it, if you're Winnipeg, I mean, this is rough. You know, Winnipeg's had some weird injuries this year. Obviously, Jacob Trouba being the latest to go out with a concussion, trying to clock Jamie Benn, which... last I checked, it never ends well. You hit somebody that's strong like Bull, it can be a bit of a problem, generally. But yeah, it's been pretty rough. And this week overall has been a rough one for injuries once again. We've had quite a few players come back, and it seems like it's funny. Last night, Timmy, we almost went the whole night without an actual injury. And then, of course, no, we didn't, because just Arizona didn't report their injury till today. And there was a few other teams that were just like, we'll wait on it. You know, like TJ Brody was last minute, right before warmups or pretty close to warmups. It looked like he was going to go.
Same thing with actually Rick Nash. Now, they did call up Anton Bleed during the day, and we knew it was going to be for someone. We just didn't know who it was going to be for.
Exactly. So, like you start counting these, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's 8 Bruins out now. Technically 7, but more or less 8. Let's see. So we got at least half a dozen Sabres. These numbers are starting to add up. 4 of those guys, one Noah Hanifin. You know, this is still over 100 players on the injury list. I mean, look, Montreal's gotten so bad now. Freaking Alex Galchenyuk has even checked out and said, "I've had enough." He's day to day with a hand injury. He took a slash, and don't know the exact condition on him right now, but I'm sure we'll find out sometime either tomorrow or Thursday. So. Montreal actually is not your clubhouse leader with 9 injuries, as hard as it is to believe. There's a couple teams that are close, but, you know, to be fair, a couple Montreal players you knew were going to be injured no matter what. And, Vegas even has 7 injuries. Winnipeg is up to 6 now with the Laine injury. I mean, this is getting rough. And, you know, Washington, not for nothing, is missing Evgeny Kuznetsov. He's still out. So, I mean, this is a sizable list, obviously. And it doesn't even include players like Oscar Klefbom and a couple others who've been shut down, that it just hasn't happened to, go in the injury report. A late scratch, which, again, Can people wash their hands, seriously, Timmy? Just wash your hands. Carl Soderberg apparently contracted the flu this morning. So he couldn't contract it like tomorrow when my write-up was up and done. He contracted it this morning as I was finished with my article for the Sporting News, which screwed me up royally. I had to make at least about 5 or 6 different changes. It's like, you know, the bad part is when you write something for a deadline and go, I'm sorry, but this player is now scratched. This player is, please use this player instead. Please stream this player in place of, and you just sit there and go, it's like it's the equivalent of the long walk of shame. It really is. But you know, again, this is the kind of week it's been injury wise. And for my fantasy hockey leagues, oh, this is painful. Obviously, let's see. Kevin BX is out for. Let's go through some of the more semi-notable ones. Kevin BX is out for the rest of the regular season. He broke his hand. No, Timmy, not a Superman punch this time. Honestly, legitimately broke it. That one, you know, is only notable because of the Superman punch twice. I mean, that's,
you know,
it.
A reminder, we are at WrestleMania season, folks, and Roman Reigns is still not getting over. As a matter of fact, he even got booed by Kevin BX on his way to the injury, to his visit from the injury ninja.
I'm impressed. I am impressed. Also on the injury list is Jason Demers, like we had mentioned last night. Sutton didn't look right with his shoulder, but we figured that was minor. It turned out he actually was in a slinger after the game, which would have been nice to know after the game and not today. But it appears that Demers' season is over. He will be shut down. Doesn't look like surgery will be needed, but he is going to be out several weeks. And, well, there's only a few weeks left in the season. There you go. That's kind of where we're at now. David Backes, what out? Like another game or two, Timmy, probably? Because he lucked out pretty well.
Yeah, that probably sounds about right. Yes.
You know, Backes took a skate to the knee. And I would consider him extremely fortunate, given what we've seen with some of these skate injuries. So, you know, another game or two isn't so bad. Rick Nash is day-to-day with Rick Nash is, like we said, is day-to-day with an upper body injury. It's not his head. So that's, you know, I had heard one report this morning that it was a concussion. And I sit there and I read the Twitter account. I had a click on it, Timmy, just to see what kind of fake account it was. And, oh, it was bad. So not head injury, people. I think it was a Rangers based account. So, just from the look at of the IP address and the location. So, sometimes you just have to sit there and go, okay, whatever. Again, you know, Calgary on its way to missing the playoffs. Matthew Tkachuk being out for the last week and a half hasn't helped, and doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon. And at this point, with Calgary almost out of the playoff race, it would take a miracle for them to make it at this point. I'm wondering if Tkachuk is actually shut down.
It would have to take Mike Smith standing on his head every single night.
Oh, Smith's been awful since he come back from injury,
yeah,
too.
I mean, except for that one game where he came back.
Yeah, go figure. The game he came back, he was unbelievable. And ever since, it's just been a complete wreck. And some of that's on Calgary, too. Calgary has just one weird, god-awful, like, just that, no, almost Carolina West, where they can't bury anything on the power play whatsoever lately. And even strength, too, to boot. It's basically if that first line doesn't score, that second line is a dysfunctional mess without Tkachuk. It's just not the same. And, you know, the Brody injury is just a dagger, arguably, into the playoff hopes. Obviously, what happened last night did not help either. Carolina, Noah Hanifin is out with a concussion. We had broke this yesterday via John Forslund and Corey Lavalette from and Michael Smith from the Hurricanes themselves. It's hard to say. You know, Carolina's again another team pretty much, you know, dead to rights as far as a playoff berth. You'd like to think he might come back, but again, questionable at best for a return this season. Chicago doesn't have anything too major as far as injuries just yet. Obviously, Corey Crawford's not coming back. Anthony DeClair may be back as soon as next week or even this weekend, but nothing's been really made official on that front. Colorado, like we mentioned, Carl Soderberg has the flu. People just like, seriously, like, don't drink out of the same water bottle. Take your vitamins. Don't get too hungry.
You wish it was that simple.
Unfortunately, it isn't. It really isn't. Columbus, Seth Jones is still out. It doesn't appear to be all that serious. Yeah, it might just be like an AC joint bruise. So as long as Columbus keeps winning, I mean, they don't really have a reason to rush him back into the lineup, to be honest. So,
right.
You know, basically Boone Jenner's been on freaking fire. And so, you know, and Artemi Panarin, last I checked, is pretty good. And obviously you have Bobrovsky and Net. And, you know, they've won, what, now going just about a 9 straight unless by some miracle the Rangers come back, which I'm not holding my breath on. You know, and you just go through and it's like, well, okay, you know, an injury or two isn't really going to derail Columbus at this point, given the rest of the season schedule. Dallas, Timmy, ow, starting to hurt. Ben Bishop re-aggravated his left knee injury. This may be a sprain. It may be a partial tear. Nobody's really sure. So we're going to keep an eye on that one. It's not the groin. It's the left knee that he re-aggravated. He injured it a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, here we go again. Mark Metho has a hand injury. I don't know if he's going to be back this season, to be honest. He may be shut down. Obviously, Marty Hansel is out till training camp after having back spinal fusion surgery. Yes, spinal fusion surgery. So he'll be out another 6 months. Ouch. You know, Jason Spez's back spasms have started to act up again, and that's its own sort of issue. So, look, it could be a day. It could be several weeks. It's really a day-by-day and hour-by-hour thing. Anybody that suffers severe back spasms knows this well. Brett Ritchie's day-to-day with a lower body injury. You know, just going through some of these, Oscar Klefbom, not even listed, has been shut down. He's going to have his shoulder work cleaned out. He's done for the year. You know, going through some of the more significant ones, Trevor Lewis is day to day with the dreaded undisclosed injury. Yikes. And of course, the big one from Minnesota last week was Jarrett Spurgeon, who's out at least another 4 to 5 weeks with a partially torn hamstring. And that will be significant down the road, especially. Montreal, like I said, ouch. Okay, the following players are likely.
Okay. There's another one who might be coming back, and we're going to get to that, I know.
We're going to get to that one. I get the logic, but, oh, boy. If it goes wrong, there can be some second guessing going on. All right, here's the list of players from Montreal that are shut down for the season, or at least likely to be shut down for the season. Al Shemsky, Shea Weber, Max Pacioretty, Victor Mitt, David Schlamko, you have Valiev, you have Philip Dano, Andrew Shaw. That's a lot. And obviously, Alex Galchenyuk is day to day with the hand injury that we don't know the severity of just yet. You know, you start looking at some of these and just go, oh, this is rough. Nashville, I mean, look at Nashville. Nashville, Cal Yarncroft is out for the rest of the regular season, probably part of round one. And Nashville's 14-0-1 in their last 15 games, Demi. I mean, if you looked at the Micah McCurdy point projection chart, Nashville almost breaks the chart now because of this recent hot streak. That's how comical it is. It's just like, oh, come on. So, you know, missing one third, fourth line. To be fair, Yarncroc was on pace for a 40-point season almost. I mean, on pace for almost 40 points. That's pretty good for a bottom six player. I mean, Nashville actually does not have a player in their top 45 in the league in scoring. I think it's top 50 now. And yet, they're pretty damn good.
And they do have some dynamic players. It's not that they don't.
Right. They do have dynamic players. It's just it's such a balanced team.
Yeah.
From top to bottom. And there have been some injuries, too, that have kind of eaten into some numbers, et cetera. And there's been some bad luck, if you want to call it.
And then
there's
been Pecorine, who's been playing all world.
Right. You mean the Vezina winner, and we're just not even going to discuss anyone else at this point? Probably.
Yeah, right about now.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vasilevsky.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate, but darn, it's bound to happen. Let's see, New Jersey, Marcus Johansson is skating on his own in New Jersey. There's a chance that he could come back at the end of the month, and they really kind of need him. It's been an unfortunate kind of – look, let's face it. Sorry, Timmy, Brad Marchand's a scumbag for that one. And we'll just call it a day. it's just one of those things.
Fair enough.
It's just like, it's just like, come on, really? You know, it's like, Johansson's had enough of a history with concussions. It's just like, ah. But there is hope that he will be back before the end of the season. Pavel Zacha it's a good question. It's definitely more than just your average shoulder injury, but he's going to try and give it a go next week when New Jersey returns home. At least in practice. So if practice goes well enough, he may be able to play, and they sorely need him. They need the center depth in the worst way, because the guy that we're going to bring up, Timmy, and John Quenville literally played 10 seconds of a game the other day and got knocked the hell out into the next stratosphere. So that wasn't going to happen. And yes, Miles Wood is out tonight with an elbow contusion. Yeah, it apparently is painful enough that he can't play. So I get that. That one definitely hurt. He hit his elbow pretty hard into a board and stanchion. So, ow. You start looking down the Rangers. Tony D'Angelo done. Ottawa. All right, we'll get to it eventually. Ryan Zingle's still out, unfortunately. Mark Stone is probably out another week, maybe 2 weeks, depending on who you want to believe in the Ottawa media. Oh, by the way, there's a nice GM formal sort of questionnaire thing that the fans will actually get to ask Pierre Dorion what the heck is wrong with their team. So we might be able to get a Pierre Dorion rant at some point onto the show.
Not before Eugene Melnyk has a say again.
Hashtag Melnyk out? Okay.
If only it were that simple.
Yeah, we can't get
that. Seems to be the line of the night. If only it were that simple.
I know, right? If only it were that simple. And then obviously, you know, Erik Karlsson was feeling under the weather, and it's kind of what we thought was the flu. And he did look a little the last couple days. Little did we know what actually happened, and unfortunately, they lost their son. Which, if you know the Carlsons, you know any expecting parents. There's no greater heartbreak than a miscarriage. There really isn't, or the death of an infant son or child, for that matter, at any age. And you know, to Eric, Melinda, and the entire Carlson family, our deepest condolences here, and sympathies from the program. And I hope that, you know, Eric can come back onto the ice soon, because there's a lot of people, whether they're hockey fans of the Senators or just across the league in general, that want to pay their respects when the time is right, because there's no easy way for a family to deal with a miscarriage. There really is not. And everybody has different ways of handling it. And it's the best thing right now is to just hopefully that in some small way they can understand what, we feel the pain as well. And we didn't even come close to experiencing it. So,
yep.
Again,
I mean, it's just human. The hockey community is very, very tight, as we well know, as some of you well know as well. Just some of our interactions with the players, with the, in my case, the Bruins, and Chris's case, the Devils. But I think anyone can tell you that Carlson is probably one of the more well-respected players in all of the NHL, not just for the way he conducts himself on the ice, but certainly off the ice as well. And I think not only is it a hit for Ottawa, it's a hit for everyone. Even though, as you mentioned, we've never had this situation, kind of dealt with this situation with family before, you can still feel it. And definitely our thoughts and prayers go out to Carlson, and hopefully he definitely will take as much time as he needs. And I do think the game is definitely better with Carlson than without him, but in this instance it's definitely understandable that more than understandable, obviously, that he should take as much time as he needs.
Yeah, that's hockey's just secondary. There's really no other way to even fathom what could happen there. If it's something where he does not return at all this season, it's take every bit of time you need. It's not an easy thing to recover from. And for some players, it's easier to get back on the ice. And for some, it just isn't. So we don't know. And that's the way we kind of have to look at it. Just hope for better times.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On a lighter yet relatively much less painful note, there are more injuries and such, but nothing really too noticeable throughout the league, except for like the ones that we broke through tonight. Looks like Melko Carlson is coming back tonight. Mind you, to play on the top line with Evander Kane and Joe Pavelski, go figure. Jonas Donskoy is still out, so Carlson gets the lucky express elevator up to the first line and fantasy gold. If you're streaming out there and you have time to pick him up, might be good for at least a couple games until Donskoy comes back. Mark-Edouard Vlasic had a chest bruise, of all things, from taking a pretty hard hit the other night. And it does look like he'll be okay, which is good news. You can't say the same for the St. Louis Blues, who will be without Vladimir Tarasenko for tomorrow's game against Boston. It's already been announced. I wouldn't be surprised if Tarasenko shut down. Just something doesn't feel right. And much the same with Carter Hutton, who looked like he was recovering from a neck injury. And Timmy, I swear it's whiplash. I swear it's whiplash and some kind of like contusion to the vertebrae in the neck, because it doesn't seem right that he was feeling okay 1 minute and now it's just like, nope, that's it. And then there's Toronto, where Nikita Zaitsev's been ill for almost 2 weeks now. It could return this weekend. Apparently, he got the flu and then got walking pneumonia on top of it. So, yeah, pretty rough. Leo Komarov, Putin. No, just Leo Komarov. Day-to-day I think it's a knee injury. And then there's Vancouver, Timmy, which is just boatloads.
And speaking of Toronto, guess what? A 3-goal lead, they blew.
You gotta admire Toronto for this. Nobody blows a 3-goal lead.
They do it no other. they do it like no other team. Actually, on second thought, maybe the Bruins do it a little often as well.
A little bit, but still. By the way, if Devils fans were looking for Florida to really slow down tonight, no. And the worst part is the first period only was play 18 of 20 minutes were played because of a delay. So Ottawa had to play 22 minutes of the second period, and it didn't go well, needless to say. Some weirdness tonight in the sense that Philly is about to lose. Actually, Philly has gone so far as to put Nolan Patrick up with Giroux and Voracek, which is interesting. So the line blender has gone out fully there. Washington-Dallas has been fun as advertised. Like you said, Pittsburgh lost again. I guess if you're going to have a little bit of a hiccup, might as well be the time to do it. Columbus looks like they held up. Yeah, they just held on to beat the Rangers unless some weird glitch happens with the scoreboard. LA and Winnipeg are tied at 1. Chicago has an early goal against Colorado. Edmonton Club Carolina 7-3. Vancouver, Vegas, and New Jersey and San Jose are the late games tonight. Poor Vancouver.
Anyone have Vegas and Colorado meeting in round one at the beginning of the season? Was there anyone there at all? Anyone?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. Yeah, how about that for just that? By the way, that will be like an extremely fun series. That's going to be crazy. I mean, that's one of those series that you sit there and just go, that's just going to be fun. And you just kind of let it ring and let it go. And it's like, okay. And just have some. It's funny because I'm looking at tonight. And it's like, there's a tweet from like 10 minutes ago. Tampa Bay looks terrible tonight. And now it's like, oh, okay. not so bad.
Then they remembered they're facing Toronto, who likes to, as we documented just moments ago, who like to give 3 goal cushions.
All right, so
like
at least,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm telling you one thing. Artemi Panarin really likes playing in the tri-state area. He's done well against all three teams. Now I'm looking through, obviously. And all right, so Nikita Zadorov from Colorado apparently went off with an injury and then, of course, is now back. By the way, Timmy, Artemi Panarin, yeah, that was him scoring the third goal to make it 5-3. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Columbus has won 9 straight games. They'll never lose again. Yeah, it's just kind of what it is.
Just until the playoffs.
Now, how about this weird one? I know it's not NHL, but let's face it, for a guy that, one of the better college coaches in the league, and period. Wow. So Don Lucci has stepped down from Minnesota today.
Yeah.
The news jokingly broken by his son, who plays for the Binghamton Devils.
Out of all people, too.
Yeah, it's for a guy that's won national championships and everything else, for Minnesota to be basically not get into the tournament because of at least 3 or 4 of the most extraordinarily weird events when you put them together. And people from Minnesota were actually happy that he was going. Huh? I mean, if my If that college program, which pretty much is the only college program from Minnesota itself, from the University of Minnesota itself, that had any usefulness in the last 5 to 10 years, that was any good, and you're seriously celebrating this. It makes zero sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, let's say a guy like Gar Snow is fired tomorrow. Fans from the Islanders are literally throwing every known party that they can for the rest of the season. They are. I mean, this is something that you just have to look at. All right, think about it. All right, so she's been a coach basically since 1988. All right. Not bad. Went to Colorado College, nearly won an NCAA title with them. Came real close. Lost runner up 1 year, Frozen Four the next. And then went on to Minnesota, where let's face it, the first season and a half were extremely bumpy, and then it happened. He won two national titles in a row, and mind you, the funny part about it, and people often forget this, finish first in the conference either season, not even close actually, which is kind of funny.
Well, that just shows you how strong that league was at the time, the old WCHA.
Yeah, I mean, how strong was the league?
I mean, they had some real, really big powerhouses like Denver and Colorado College. Wisconsin was pretty good in there, and North Dakota.
Yeah, so you finished third, second, fourth, and third. And in those 4 years, Timmy, he won two national titles and went to a Frozen Four. Now, to be fair, there were some lean years along the way where maybe you sat there and went, so-and-so could be – maybe there's grounds for a canning. But then the last two – it's funny because, the last two seasons, particularly, last year when it got to the Frozen Four, it's like, all right, well, Minnesota's on its way back. And then this year, I mean, they were – look, this was a team that was 26-5. And is out of the tournament. That was that. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, this is a team. I mean, to be fair,
and even though they lost four in a row to end the season, they still needed everything else to go wrong, which is exactly what happened this week.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate what happened to Minnesota. And I guess the problem partially is too. Obviously, 2014 coming real close and not winning probably was that was rough. And then 2016, where they were god awful out of conference, and it killed them. Come tournament time, you can't be 6-11 out of conference and expect to make the tournament. I guess there were just certain things where it's like, all right, the guy's coached this many years, he's an institution, he's won 700 games in the college ranks, but it's now time for you to go. I don't think it was necessarily, but at the same time, maybe it was time for a new voice, perhaps. And that's where Minnesota is now, at least. And it'll be interesting to see going forward what they do. I don't even know who they have in mind or who they're looking for, but hey, apparently they have an idea, and it's safe to say, Timmy, we don't. It's just
no.
So,
and else has an idea on life? Ryan Donato did not make the trip this morning to late last night with the team. Instead, took today to finish up his semester in Harvard with a class, and then it's flying right. I don't know if he's there yet or not, but he'll be there tonight joining his teammates. One smart guy.
About going back to school, literally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how you can balance it, being a pro hockey player and going to school out of all places, probably the Ivy institution, but
mm-hmm.
there he is.
All right, so.
Making us look dumb by the day.
We talked earlier about what it would be like for a Vegas-Colorado series. And, yeah, Chicago looked pretty good in the first period, at least for a little bit. And here comes Colorado, literally. Two goals in rapid succession, and just like that, it's now 2-1. And, of course, it had to be Rantanen for McKinnon and Barry on the second goal. Nathan McKinnon, who is probably going to come darn close to 100 points, if not go over it. Timmy.
And yeah, he might only finish third in the Hart Trophy.
Nah, I think he's going to win it. I think ultimately he's
going to.
I don't
know. I mean, I'm looking at Malkin's pace. Right.
Malkin is definitely up there, but if you take you take Malkin out, oh boy.
Yeah, certainly if you take McKinnon out, it's good night.
Yeah, things have also happened, Timmy. We have now gone full escalation. Well, Detroit was up 2 goals, Timmy. Honest.
Mm-hmm.
Really? And they're not. It's tight. I'm telling you. Let's see. I look at time 9:40. It's like the same old. It just never changes, does it? Things happen just like literally. All right, let's put it this way. So that, by my math, is literally 2 goals in a blank. About
mm-hmm.
2 goals in a little less than 3 minutes. Actually,
and
no.
Sean
no.
Couturier yeah. getting. One of those goals, I believe, is 30th. No, that was earlier. Excuse me. That was the second period. And it's Matt Reed and Shink Atmosphere. Matt Reed out of all people.
Yeah, but this is just comic relief. Gossipier, I figure would have a big night tonight because, well, look, Detroit's it doesn't really matter who they put up against that top power play unit. It wasn't going to end well, but I figured at least Detroit might be good for a power play goal. No, they scored a shorthanded goal naturally, just because. Rookie prospect Evgeny Svechnikov scored his first of the year. So now he has as many goals as Duncan Keith, and so does Matt Reed. And again, New Jersey gets zero help from anybody because, well, people just don't understand how bizarrely bad this is. I mean, it takes like a special set of circumstances just to be constantly, and yet here we are. By the way, Tampa Bay did take the lead, Timmy. So they're up 4-3 with about a little over 9 minutes left.
It was 3-0.
It was honest. And James Van Riemsdyk was literally inches from a hat trick too. That would have made it 4-0. And then literally not even maybe 20, 30 seconds later, Victor Hedman scored the first goal. And then Tampa Bay, well, it's like killing me softly. They just kept right on. Just no other way to put it. Even Ryan McDonagh scored a goal. That's how you know it's, that's pretty rough. It's just one of those things, and obviously, like we said, you got a few late games to go, you got some other things, and then Timmy, we finally get to this. So the GMs had a wampum this week.
Mm-hmm.
And not
or
much was
they?
Changed. Yeah, I don't think they
nope.
really did, because not much really changed other than the fact that we're going to centralize all things goalie review as far as putting
in freaking offsides.
And yeah, the offsides rule will not be changed. Actually, a couple GMs brought it up, and it was basically voted down 21-10. So, yeah, and I know one GM who voted for it, and that was Ray Shero. He was one of the GMs that actually tried to initiate the proposal. Because it's ridiculous. It's cost the Devils about 5 points in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
And probably will be the reason why New Jersey doesn't make the playoffs is this blasted rule that just no. It's pretty rough. It's one of those things where you look at this and you know it's bad, and yet the league just, for a lack of a better term, refuses to do much about it. They think it's fine somehow, or at least that this method of improving things is an okay and acceptable method.
Here we are, the same league that also fixes things that aren't broken, like a certain playoff system that we've had the past few years.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, to be fair, you know, did I like the old playoff format from the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I liked it in the 80s. It just doesn't
work
as well now.
These are the 2010s. And say what you want about the 1-8 format and the division winners getting the top seeds, but division realignment is a whole other question for another day, because I think,
mm-hmm.
quite frankly, we could do without divisions. But
right.
It was much better than what we have now, where you're going to have the second and third place teams in the conference face off in round one and perhaps have to face the top team in round two.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, it wasn't meant to be that way, but yeah, it's kind of ended up that way. It really has. So they're not going to fix it anytime soon. We're more or less, for the lack of a better term, stuck with it. So, hey, let's hope it doesn't really foul things up too badly. Although I have the feeling it probably is. Because let's be honest, Timmy. If Toronto and Boston face off in round one, and maybe I'm wrong on this, to me that's just too big of a matchup to be in round one.
On the flip side of it, teams in the bottom of standings can benefit from the flawed playoff structure. Look at Ottawa last year. One shot away from going to a conference final. And would that have happened in the 1-8 playoff format? Probably not. And look at the standings from last year. Let's go back to the NHL.com standings from last year, and let's go to conference.
We can do this.
Yep. Yes. So saying even if they – so from a conference standing standpoint, 3-6 would have been Columbus, Ottawa. But even if, say, Montreal gets division winners get the top two seeds, they would face Pittsburgh in round one. I don't think they would have fared well.
No. Yeah, I mean, it was a huge difference to face as opposed to – yeah, there's a big difference there. I mean, to me, that's too much of one.
Mm-hmm. And then the playoff matchups would have been much better on that, because you would have either gotten, say you got Montreal and as the division winner, you would have had Boston, Montreal round one. Washington, Toronto would have been the same. You could have and Pittsburgh or Columbus against Ottawa. But if had this happened, we also really could have gotten Columbus and the Rangers. Tortorella Bowl.
Oh.
That would have been something.
No, you're right. I mean, it's weird how you can sit there and just go, oh, if it was only this way, and you look at the format and just go, that's rough. But hey, you know, we joke about some of these, and wait a minute, Detroit's trying again. Breaking news, Detroit is trying again. I think Dylan Larkin has just scored to give Detroit a 4-3 lead with a little over 5 minutes left in the third period. Something might actually break right for New Jersey, at least somewhat. How scary is this, Timmy? If New Jersey were to somehow win tonight and Detroit were to, God forbid, hold on, which I still doubt, but hey. There would be five teams within 5 points of the division.
Yep.
League. Holy crap. Pretty scary. Actually, no, because I think the
team. That would be four teams with 6 points, five teams within nine.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's, wow. That's pretty crazy.
If the Devils beat the Sharks tonight, you'd have five teams within 7 points.
7 points. It's still just it's a crazy number to even think about at this point. Because I mean, look, you have the Atlantic Division, which basically is Tampa, Boston, Toronto, and then far is just somewhere in the middle, like. And then the drop off is just like or eliminate it. It's funny because I said Detroit would probably have a pretty good showing tonight, just because it's like the last time I think they got a streak that was this ridiculous. Actually, no, it was after they got gave up 10 goals. Yeah, that's right. They gave up 10 goals and then came back and had one of their best games of the year. Go figure. So, you know, again, it's one of these things where, this is going to be a nutty sort of 2.5 weeks going into the playoffs. And then you have to look at this. There's that Sunday. Wait, here we go. And upon further review, the Flyers, I think, that should count. That's definitely a goal. So, all right. And Detroit's going to Detroit. Am I reading this right, Timmy? Is Daniel Bryan maybe having his clearance revoked now?
No, actually, he's he just got physical in the ring.
Okay, so he left.
And you better believe he's having a match at WrestleMania. And yes, kicks.
All right, so. So that's wow. So Konechny retired.
And guess who just tied it?
Yeah. Let me guess. Toronto tied too?
Nope. Not yet.
It's coming. I'm telling you. Oh, by the way, Colorado just scored again. So it's now 3-1. Because, well, let's face it. It's Tyson Barrie's world, and we're just living in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how nuts is this? Mika Rantanen is going to quietly have an 80-point season. And I mean quiet. Rantanen has 2 points now. Barrie on the goal, Rantanen and Landis Coggins says, yeah, actually, he might get it tonight. Because he's up to 79 points now. the thing with Colorado is this. You know, Bernier's injured. No one really knows how long he's going to be out for. Varlamov, you're scared every 2 seconds because you fear something bad is going to happen. And yet, you look at the standings, and barring something unforeseen happening tonight, this is a Colorado team that couldn't even muster 50 points last year. They're going to have 88 points, Timmy, and be 15 games over 500.
I don't think anyone saw this coming.
Now, they, you know, obviously going into tonight, they had a plus 22 goal differential, which means basically amongst a division of Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Dallas, and St. Louis, they are right up there with Winnipeg and Nashville when it comes to goals per game. They're right there. They're also 7-1-3 in their last 11. And this is in spite of having Eric Johnson. I'm kidding. Maybe. But it's just,
it
wow.
depends on who you talk to.
It is. And now, granted, look, Dallas is probably done. They've lost six straight. And yes, even with, you know, et cetera, they would be, let's see, Dallas would be 4 points down. And Colorado would still have a game in hand. That's rough. That'd be rough to come back from.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas only has 8 games left. Yeah. St. Louis is kind of on the, you know, St. Louis is weird. They're kind of in it, but not in it because they have to hop. Again, they have to hop a bunch of teams just to get in. And the West race is just, you think the East is bad. The West is worse. The West arguably is probably it's liquid, just ugly. And like we said, you have Colorado right now in the first wild card, and they'll stay in the first wild card after tonight. Anaheim will be 2 points out. Dallas will be 4. St. Louis would be 5. Calgary would be 8 points out with 8 games left.
And let's face it, tomorrow night against Anaheim, an absolute must-win game. They lose that, you can unofficially kiss their season goodbye. Not that are writing them off. I think we're pretty much writing them off a little bit now, as we mentioned earlier in the show, but they have to win that tomorrow in regulation.
Yes, they do. And this is some of the reasons why. Using the, thanks to, Dom and Micah and a bunch of, Scott Cullen and a bunch of, looking at numbers and such and averaging them and then coming up with their own numbers. We figure it's going to take about 95 points to get into the playoffs in the West. Approximately. So right now, Calgary's at 80. Timmy, they'd have to go 7-0-1 and then hope for help.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get it. And people are asking, well, why would they need to hope for help? They only have 35 wins. People forget they have 10 overtime losses.
Yeah, and then the second
regulation
tiebreaker
wins is only
regulation
33.
Overtime wins. Yep.
That could be an issue.
And that's another reason why they got beat Anaheim in regulation too.
Yeah, they need the regulation overtime win.
Because they would actually be one up on the row column on Anaheim if they win.
Right. And they need the – and I know people are saying, well, okay, they could win in overtime. No, they really need the win in regulation because they need to pick up the 2 points fully. Picking up 1 point is just not going to be enough.
You have to have a net gain of 2, in other words. Not just a net
really
gain of 1 for a 3-point game, but 2.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like you said, Chicago, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Arizona are eliminated. Vancouver, Arizona are eliminated officially. I believe if I read this right, Timmy, Edmonton is eliminated as well. after they're on the verge of being eliminated.
Well, they have the same amount of points as Chicago.
They're up to 70. Yeah, it's not updated, though. So they have 71 and 74 now.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's just
it'll
a matter
74
of
74
like
and 73, yeah.
Yeah. So Chicago would be eliminated tonight. I think it's some weird thing if the Devils win or something like some weird thing. I forgot how it works. But there's some like magic juju or something where a couple things break. Chicago is done after tonight, which the reality is they have been since around Christmas time when Corey Crawford was yanked in a game against New Jersey and hasn't looked right since and has been out pretty much since.
In terms of Colorado, and for some reason I thought they were in the Pacific Division, but you know. For whatever reason, just geography based, it made more sense. But that's the NHL for you.
Hey, it's the Northwest. Hey, I want the Northwest Division to come back.
The North by Northwest.
Can yeah,
we bring
like
the Southeast back too, then?
I miss the Southeast. I do. You can't even say you're beating.
Just because the Caps need another banner.
No, it's true. Now, like I said to you, Timmy, I was like, well, you know, and to everybody listening out there, we'll probably bring back things like, you know, the call-in number, next week. Forgive us. We're getting used to things. And, you know, it's been a long day. I had to go shopping for food in medieval conditions because everybody thought, you know, we're going to die from the latest nor'easter. So,
yeah. And we at least got to see the Leafs blow another 3-0 lead officially.
Isn't it nice to know that there's death, taxes, and the Leafs blowing a 3-goal lead at certain seasons in life?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and Tampa Bay, they held on. That's the important bit. For Tampa, at least. I mean, that's a big 2 points for Tampa. Because if they had lost tonight, you know, you put it back this way. Boston, in a technical sense, would be in a plus situation based on points. Boston would be down 3 but have 2 games in hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, even overtime appearance would put – overtime loss, rather, would put them in a decent spot.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. But a regulation win really does, like – it does cement things a little bit for them. Hopefully stabilizes things. Look, it's funny. Tampa has won 8 of their last 11 games, and you would never know it. It's like Boston. Boston is 7-2-1 in the last 10. You really would never know it. If you looked at how Boston has played over the last 10 games, and you go, what? They're what? And Toronto's kind of the same way, Timmy.
Yeah, you know, and Toronto, they came in winners of 4 in a row.
Yeah, they won 4 in a row, and it's like you looked at those games and really only one or two of them that they look like a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of thing. All right. For example, here tonight, so Columbus with the win, Timmy, is now 4 points out of the division lead in the Metropolitan. Now, granted, yes, they played one more game than Washington and Pittsburgh, but this is how nuts it is right now. If Philly were to win, they'd be in the same boat. It's jammed. It's jammed, I tell you. Sheesh. And they're all right around the same area. When you look at Philly, New Jersey, and Florida, for example, are like right in the same cluster as far as goal differential. And Columbus. And then obviously Pittsburgh had that big streak where they scored a bunch of goals at home. They scored like 55 goals in 11 games at home. Now that has kind of leveled off. And their goal differential, which was plus like 24 a couple of weeks ago, is now only plus 16. And then Washington, obviously. Washington has won 7 of the last 10 games, but even tonight, a couple breaks, and Dallas honestly probably easily wins that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things. I think if Dallas was a little bit more rested, and not as gassed. I don't have a doubt in my mind that Dallas wins that game and in regulation. It's just that kind of it. You looking up and down the schedule tonight and you go, holy crap. For example, LA is tied still with Winnipeg in the third period. And I understand Lane went down to an injury and it may be, the hope is that it's not a significant one. But let's be honest, there's a couple crazy things in this game. Eric Comrie is starting, first of all, for Winnipeg. Now, granted, he's only had to face 16 shots, and I think only two of those were high-danger chances. But at the same sort of token, it's nuts. I mean, Jack Campbell's played – Jack Campbell was literally like a 50-minute bus ride from being out of the NHL entirely – any hopes of being in the NHL entirely. You know, he was playing in the ECHL and literally was a 50-minute bus ride from just going home and being done. And now he's backing up Jonathan Quick and looking pretty good doing so with LA. I mean, he has 30 saves tonight.
Yeah.
So, maybe that first-round pick that Dallas spent on him actually wasn't great, but it wasn't a waste. It might be a waste
of a pick for Dallas if Campbell actually turns around in the second half of his career.
I wouldn't be surprised. And look, and I said this to people, he's only 26, so it's not completely impossible or out of the realm. You just look at some of the stops. I mean, Idaho.
The hockey hotbed.
Yeah. And then obviously this year, he righted the ship last year in Ontario, which was big. And then obviously he's played well for the Rain. He really has. And that precipitated his call up. To be fair, I mean he earned it. It's not like he didn't earn it.
No, you're right.
All right, so here's a few things going on. Florida is one goal from getting the snowman in Ottawa. It's 7-2, and they actually almost just made it 8-2. Philly is on the power play again. Oh my god! Seriously, if Philly wins this game, this is gonna be the second time I've watched a Detroit team allow three or more power play goals in the last 2 weeks, and the third time in the last about a little over a month. That has got to be one of the weirdest teams for their penalty kill is actually above average if you throw out the every so often mulligan that they have. It's weird. If you take the three really bad penalty kill games that they've had in the last month or so, Timmy, away, they're second in the league on the penalty kill over the last 5-6 week period. But they've had, like I said, they've had three or four games where it's just like, wow, just what planet are you on? It's something else. By the way, hey Timmy, Vegas, I think they got off to a fast start tonight.
Marc
Gasol's back, ladies and gentlemen. You sons of bitches that thought he was in a slump.
We got another one.
Yeah. Cody Eakin scored right after. Marc Gasol from Wild Bill Carlson. William Carlson, who will score 40 goals this year and have a shooting percentage over 20%. And I don't think it's all that much of a fluke either.
All right.
How crazy and nuts is this? I mean, I know we'll talk about Vegas more as we head into e-playoff land. Oh yeah, the epic playoff preview, because we'll basically have three days off. Well, unless Boston has something to play for on that Sunday to end the season.
Yeah, we might have to do it on that Monday, by the way, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
This is true. But no, you're right. It's something, man. All right, so Detroit somehow killed that off, even though Philly hit a crossbar. It's pretty high anxiety here for Philly. Well, let's see. Oof. Oh, okay. All right. That's pretty bad, Timmy. You can't miss opportunities that wide open. Generally.
Nope.
And then of course there's this. The Tank, Frank the Tank, has 3 goals in 6 games at Florida.
Mm-hmm. A goal every other game.
Yeah, literally, like right on, like right like clockwork. Relax, Florida. It's okay.
It's good.
I mean, really.
It's good to see him actually getting a good enough role up there and make that.
He just wasn't going to him.
He's been getting a top 6 role there, and he's been looking quite good.
No, he has. He really has. By the way, I don't think Marc-Andre Fleury has even seen a shot yet. I mean, look, in Vancouver, it's so bad that Ben Hutton has a staph infection in his foot and may be out for the rest of the season. That's how crazy it's gotten. Guess he got mold in his skate or something. Something weird happened. There hasn't really been a full explanation from Vancouver. I'm kind of curious as to see what it was. He had a foot infection, which the only thing I could think of is it's something that happened on the ice as opposed to off the ice. In Vancouver, you know if a guy literally cut himself while shaving. So, I know. I went there.
Of injuries, lucky enough to see Henrik Lundqvist actually continue the game. Not that they shouldn't shut him down for the rest of the year, but, man, that was a nasty collision.
It was rough. But, I mean, look, Lundqvist can't stop anything anyway at this point. And he did have 10 – you would think he had 10 days off, he would have played better tonight. And I know people are going to be like, oh, how can you say that about Lundqvist? But it's just like, look, I mean, I know he's checked out, and he did. It's just the reality. He checked out. But, you know, your team scores 3 goals, you probably should win. I mean, Corey Schneider hasn't seen three goals scored by his team in almost 4 months. And I get – it's funny, too, because Columbus kind of lucked out in this game. All 3 goals by the Rangers are scored via special teams. And Columbus did not look very good or comfortable even on the power play. And they didn't look comfortable on the penalty kill either. Look, and the fact that this team has won 9 straight games is kind of bizarre. You know, we've been saying this. I mean, they're not the only team that has won ugly. So Boston.
And they're making winning ugly a habit.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's won ugly. Tampa Bay's won a lot of games ugly. But Columbus, I mean, it's just like a next level, just grunt and just it doesn't look pretty until you see the results in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's working. You know, as basically, Kristen Repke said it to me tonight. It's ugly. It's real ugly. It's working. I mean, what
else
can you say about it?
Don't ask how pretty or how ugly it is, just as long as you get the points.
Yeah. I mean, look, and to be fair, I mean, it's the same. You go looking back, and I wonder how, if you can still like go all the way back on ESPN site to like 2003. You need to like go through the NHL standings and go like all the way back, like about a good 15 years or so. You know, there's a couple of years where you looked and it's like you look at the like the records of some teams and you just go, Really? They did what? But, you know, good example of that. All right, 2011-2012 season. I always like to go back to this just because it's theoretically funny to look at this. The Devils that year won 6 straight, Timmy, to end the season. And they had to be 6 of the ugliest freaking games. I mean, yeah, as a winning streak, and you look at this to end the season, and you're seeing it this year especially. It's like, how did these teams even? No, there's no way. There's no way that should have happened. And yet it did.
That was a tough division that year too.
All right, for perspective that year. Rangers, Penguins, Flyers, and Devils all separated by 7 points. Yeah. I mean, that's just like, ow.
And then Florida benefited from the loser point. Yeah.
Oh, God. That was just the one year where everybody's just like, make it go away. Make it go away. Make it go away. Holy crap. Make it go away. Yeah, because, I mean, that was... Wait a minute. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, because that was the year literally that Ottawa claimed upside down and sideways that, you know, holy crap, you know, we should have been in the playoffs. I remember that.
Well, they did make it.
To be fair, I mean, you know, they're like, well, we should, you know, there's no way Florida should have more, you know, and then Buffalo complained. Yeah, that's right, because that was, Yeah, that was the infamous Ottawa backed in on the last day of the season.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. That's just, you know, and then the West, it's funny because like the West was the same way. The Central Division was 4 teams separated by 8 points. People forget that Columbus was in the West back then and bad.
Quite bad.
How scary are some of these numbers? I mean, holy crap. I mean, the best and favorite one of mine was this one. This was the year that Minnesota was basically 500 and had a goal differential of almost minus 50.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it just goes to show you that even 5-6 years ago.
And Florida had a goal differential of minus 24 and won their division.
Yeah, because they literally tied what felt like every other game over the final 2 months of the season.
Yeah.
Is there – all right. Dear ESPN, is there a way that if I click on the link – it's not going to do it. No, it bounces right back to I think one of the sports – no, thank you, ESPN. But – yeah, that would be fun, like, just to sit there one day and go back through some of the games and be like, really? Wow. How'd you get in? But that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. You could – there's winning ugly, and then there's winning that.
And you know, the Red Wings took in the shootout.
Which really doesn't help New Jersey because, honestly, let's put it this way. Yeah, Detroit needed the win in regulation. It's like,
yeah,
yeah, that's kind
but
of kind
the very
of,
least
kind of weird.
You could they could still be within a point tonight, and
yeah, it's going to be.
It's not
it's
like
funny.
The Flyers have been playing great either.
No, but I don't trust it. Just don't. The way everything's gone, it's just like, all right, teams that should have lost, won. Teams that should have won, won. And it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, come down to it. Have to take care of business. But, you know, it's like this Winnipeg, you know, look. Jack Campbell's holding it together, Timmy. He's the reason why this is literally about a minute away from going into overtime. I think he's up to 32, 33 saves now. And, you know, Winnipeg's pouring it on. It's not like Winnipeg is definitely not sitting back, especially in the third period of this game. So, I mean, the Kings are a team that look like they've played three games in four nights and four and six. It didn't start out that way at first. But wow, I mean, they're definitely feeling it right now. Overtime. You know what I almost forgot, though? And all this fun and amusement and hoopla. You know, Timmy, I forgot we had brought something back that is just so infernally revolting that no one likes it, and yet we somehow do. Wait for it.
That only means one thing.
It's the 2-minute warning.
It really is.
All right. 2 minutes to go in the live portion of the show, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. The chat room will work on eventually because I don't know. It's like the Flash player just doesn't like us. But either way.
We will work on that.
We will work on these things and we will have guests and stuff for the playoffs and we'll have some kind of weird birthday sort of show previewing the playoffs and stuff. But again, thank you for joining us. The show will be on iTunes via the Hard Hits channel on said iTunes, probably by the morning. And the nice thing is, it's good to be back. And
yes,
even better,
where we belong.
And it's good to be back doing this where we can things actually work and we can, you know, work on, you know, editing sound clips and mixing things in and having guests come on in a little bit of an easier way because yes, we can dial out once again, which, you know, is kind of a necessary feature. So again, we here at the program are grateful and you can follow us on Twitter, Timmy at Tim Rosenthal and at myself at Chris Wassel DFS. Timmy
_
always,
Tim Rosenthal.
That's right. You have the last word, Timmy.
Aloha and happy birthday, Bobby Orr.
There you go. Hey, we got it in at least. The nice part, Timmy, is the only bad drawback, if you can call it that, is they don't let you can see the countdown. But remember when they used to be like kind of like pipe it in that you had to like about 10 seconds or a minute?
Mm-hmm.
That part's gone. That part is at least gone. Now, things that I couldn't play during the show that I now have at our arsenal, I should have played this with 2 minutes left. I don't know why I didn't. Yeah, I know.
That can be our new countdown, yeah. It's better than the cow. I think we got to end with the cow.
I know. I like the cow, though. The cow, I don't know.
No, I think that's what we got to end with.
All right, hold on. Let me test this here because the volume is like. Better. Okay. Yeah, some of the volume playback on this is a little. Yeah, I still got to play with that. You know, we have a couple strange little wrinkles in here that I brought back just for the fun of it. Oh, I have this. I couldn't help it.
Rock and Roll Part 2. Where the hell is Gary Glitter these days?
Probably has a 6-foot pipe stuck up. Never mind. We did bring back this one. We brought back the classic beer pour. So much so I had to play it twice. And of course, you know, there's this one.
Speaking of Ron, do we have the buzzer?
You know what? All right, here's the thing. I almost had a good buzzer one, but it just didn't have that. It didn't have that thing. I know. I'm getting there. Honest, I'm getting there. That one I'm working on. I had to find a couple things along the way there that would work for it, and it just didn't. Like there was like the buzzer that almost sounded like the buzzer, but it wasn't quite the buzzer. Yeah. But then there's this one. I know it's a football sound clip, but I
turned out the light. The party's over.
It just had
close
to.
Enough.
Yeah, I had a
sneak, that could be good for the Eliminator.
It could. It really could. Just because, you know, ECW. There was a YouTube to MP3 converter that literally had like a limit on like about 10 music videos. And I was just like,
really?
Might as well use that up. Because
maybe I can work on it and we can get Stan back again.
Oh, there's a couple ones that it's like, it's like crap. You know, we definitely lost them. But on the bright side, we have a chainsaw.
Ooh.
Yeah. I found a couple nice ones along the way. It's like I'm just gonna probably be adding like maybe 15 to 20 a week. Hopefully, I can picture just Eric just going, "Oh, that fucking ice hole again." But you know, then there's obviously this. I had to.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the.
I had to. You know, because you know, in the playoffs, the injury ninja just gets a little bit pissed off. He really does.
Because he doesn't have as many players to injure.
Yeah, he does. He really does get angry.
And it dwindles around.
And it really does dwindle for the round. And then, of course, there's this. Just.
You feel that? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I get to anger people again. I'm so happy. Just like, yeah, I found quite a few. I was surprised. I mean, the one that I couldn't play is the short. This is the short Injury Ninja one, actually.
The Injury Ninja comes up next only on the program.
Yeah, once we have some bill paying, we can we could start our ads with that.
Yeah, bill paying. Yeah, which, yeah, I'm able to actually like to just sustain it enough to where it's like, yep, we're good. Yeah, really, just it really just comes down to just getting, you know, more sound clips at that point. Shouldn't be too bad. Oh, the one thing I forgot to mention was the post. Crap. Canadian fans being pissed off by the sled hockey team hitting the post and then losing. Yeah. I'll play that next week. Like we had that. We had that one. I did get the U.S. national anthem back. Thank God. And of course this one to me. I had to.
Wait. No. Hold on. Blackbeard's Delight. No. She gets a special cologne. It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
It's quite pungent.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, it's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils. In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get there. There's enough there that it's like, you know, and the nice part, like I said, the nice part is the bill paying part of the operation is taken care of. I don't even have to pay $40 a month. I pay 0.00, which I'm not going to lie, is rather nice. You know, call it kind of payback for, you know, basically trucking like Brian and George and everybody for like 2 years when they didn't have their own network. So kind of helps along the way. Membership has its privileges.
Yeah. Have you talked to any of them recently?
Brian. Yeah. And obviously Derek, just because, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, you know, all not too bad. So, I know I am setting up a Office Pools was nice enough to hook us up with a free fantasy league for the playoffs. The problem is, unfortunately, I need advertising for it. And I'm not good with designing banners. So I'm going to send it to a friend of mine and see if he can come up with something. He's good. You know how you may know the Backhanded Devil on Twitter.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. Yeah. He did the background for my Twitter, actually, the Twitter cover,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty good. Do I want to watch this Devils game? Do I really want to watch this Devils game?
I think you do. So, you know what? We can wrap up the archives now and we'll talk to you. We'll schedule a show for next week some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Not gonna lie, this is a lot. It's a lot more fun to do it this way. That and the fact that I can just simply hit the end episode, and it just ends the episode. But you know, like I said, it should be up on iTunes. Subscribe to the Hard Hits Network. Tell all the nice Boston people so we can start getting somewhat of a following back again. And that way, it's kind of like going to Blog Talk, you're kind of starting all over again, but at least the old episodes from Talk Shoe have been migrated over already, so it's not as bad as the last time where we literally lost everything. So, you know, it's good in that way. All right, Timmy, I'm going to get something to eat. I'm going to gas up my snowblower and get it ready for tomorrow's inevitable. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. We could get anywhere from 6 to 24 inches. Tell me if you've heard this before.
We're looking at 6 to 10 here, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're not really sure. And they literally said, yeah, they said literally anywhere from 6 to 8 and then 18 to 24. So it just depends on where the band's at.
Well, you watch the Devils. I'm going to catch up on Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
Nice.
The best wrestling podcast ever.
I'm probably going to try and listen to that after the Devils game, or maybe even during the Devils game if it gets bad enough. So, all right, Timmy, have a good one.
Right.
I'll talk to you a little later.
Yep.
And I guess our homework assignment is to get more sound clips.
Yes. All righty.
All right, Timmy, have a good one.
Yep, you too.
All right, kids, we are out of here for a Tuesday night, and we will see you next week. Again, thanks for listening to the archive portion of the show. And like we said, you can download the show on iTunes, subscribe to the Hard Hits Radio Network. You can follow me at Chris Wassel DFS, as always. This is it. We will see you next week, and goodbye.